family, but I want you to stand with me. We haven't done this in quite a while here, but I just love to do it. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Now look at your neighbor and tell him, he called my name. He called my name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We are continuing our series on the Christian warrior. This is part 2, fighting for your family. Part 2, fighting for your family. We are in a spiritual warfare. And the Apostle Paul lets us know that we must be suited up and we must be battle ready at all times. He talks about the helmet of salvation. He talks about the breastplate of righteousness. He talks about our loins being filled with truth. He talks about our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He talks about the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And most preachers stop right there. But in verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. And Paul said, and pray for me. So pray for this preacher this morning. But I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul says, finally, my brethren, so he's talking to the church, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He said, there's your enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness or wicked spirits in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, he says, stand. Now, I want you to look at 1 Peter 5 and 8, because the Apostle Peter lets us know we're in a warfare. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. So right there, he identifies our adversary, our enemy. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour everybody. So if you suited up and got on the whole armor, guess what? If you know your position in Christ, he can't bother you. He can hinder you, but you have power and you have authority over him. And that's the purpose of this type of preaching I'm doing here. I want you to know your enemy, and I want to equip you to win the battles of life. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus has given us the authority to use his name. And he has done that because we are engaged in a spiritual warfare, and the name of Jesus carries power in three worlds, in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. I want to talk to you today about the Christian warrior, part 2, fighting for your family. Fighting for your family. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the weapons of our warfare. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for opening hearts and minds and giving revelation knowledge to what belongs to the Christian warrior. That we are more than conquerors. That you always cause us to triumph. That we have victory, because this is the victory that overcometh the world, the devil, and the flesh. It is our faith. And Lord, I ask you to anoint me to preach the word of faith today. Thank you for a listening ear. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Church, we are in a spiritual warfare. And just because people deny the devil and his power, it does not mean that the devil is going to be inactive. There is a battle that is raging. And I want to tell you something. The devil is very active. Look at the society and the culture we live in. So I want to equip you today so you can win the battles of life every time. Not sometimes, but every time. I'm a combat veteran, and I've served in the United States Marine Corps in Vietnam, and they taught me and they trained me before they sent me into battle. And when I arrived in Vietnam, I was combat ready because they had taught me about my weapons of warfare, and they had taught me about the enemy that I would be facing. But when I got saved, I found myself in a different type of battle. And God began to train me, and God began to teach me, and God began to show me the weapons of my warfare. I'm telling you, I was in a great struggle, and no one had taught me what I'm teaching you today. I started fasting. I started praying. I started reading my Bible. I found out about the blood. I found out my weapons were mighty through God to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. God began to show me how to win the battles of life. And God used my combat experience in the Marine Corps to help equip me for the battles that we all face in life. He showed me how to use the name of Jesus. He showed me how to resist the devil, his deceptions, and his temptation. He showed me the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. He showed me my position in Christ. And when I learned who I was, I also learned who the enemy was. I know who the troublemaker is. I know what the devil is trying to do. The devil is trying to destroy everything that is good, everything that is wholesome, everything that is pure. He is a destroyer. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but he is after your eternal soul. He is after the souls of your people. He is after the soul of your children. He is after the soul of your family. And I'm here today to teach and preach the word of God in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God. Amen. See, the devil wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your spouse. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy everyone, every one of you, and take everyone to hell. There is a hell to shun, and there is a heaven to gain. Hell is real, and people who are not saved, they die, and they go to that awful place called hell. Jesus tells about this awful place. Look at Luke 16 and 20. Jesus said, and there was a certain, Luke 16, 20, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gates full of sores, and desiring to be fed of the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Not torment, torments. Every message the sinners ever heard, every person that ever came to witness, every good thing that they ever received from God, they will be in hell for an eternity, and their mind will think back to those things. But it'll be too late there. In hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I just want a drop, one drop of water to cool my tongue. I am so tormented in these flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Look at verse 26. And besides all this, between you, us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they would pass from hence to you cannot come. They can't come from where I am to where you are. Neither can they pass from us to come from hence. Said, you can't come from where you are to come to us either. Then the rich man said, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren. Now he's concerned about the whole family. That he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear him. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Did you know that if you died the richest person in the world and you are lost, that you have lost everything? See, God wants us to pray. God wants us to witness. God wants us to be about the Father's business and to get people saved. He wants us to concentrate on our sons. He wants us to concentrate on our daughters, our family members, our mothers, our daddies, and our brothers, and the children about us, the entire family circle. God wants us to be a light unto them. I can't understand people that go home and run things down where the preacher's concerned, say, you know, I don't like what that preacher said. I don't like the choir. I don't like this about that person. I don't like that about that person. When they do, they're telling their children, I really don't live the life that I want you to live. I'm really not all that I've said I am. I'm just a hypocrite because I'm running everybody down. I got a big plank in my eye and all I can see is the speck in somebody else's eye. We need to get over that stuff. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We need to mature in God. We need to put on the whole armor. We need to be a light to our family and let them know I love Jesus and I love people created in the image of God. I love souls. I'm a soul winner. I'm after souls. I'm going to do what the Father sent me to do. I'm going to let my light so shine before men that they may see my good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. Go on and praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants us to be that light and be that witness. Men, listen to me. God wants men like Abraham. God said, I know Abraham. He will command his children after him. I tell you, men need to be strong. We don't need to be weak-kneed, weak-minded, spineless men. We need to be men strong in the Lord who will take authority over the devil and tell the devil, devil, you cannot have my family. I'm standing in the gap. I'm suited up. I got on the whole armor. I've got authority over you. I've got the name of Jesus. I've got the power of the blood. I've got some weapons I hadn't even pulled out yet, devil. I want you to know you are not going to have my family. Jesus Christ is the Savior. I'm praying for my family, and my whole family's going to get saved. Go on, praise God. Men need to be strong, and they need to command their families after them. We need men like Joshua said, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know if you're going to obey God or not. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That man spoke for his family. He spoke for the whole herd. Amen. Man, you can speak for your family. That's what I'm trying to tell you. God said, I have given you responsibility. He said, you're the head of that home, man. You're the one that's the suit up. You're the one. I've given you a helpmeet. If you got a wife, they're just a help. That's what they're there for. But the man is responsible to be a man, to be battle ready, to go into the battle and let the devil know, you're not taking my family. You're not taking my home. You're not taking my finances. You're not taking my health. I'm suited up. Hallelujah. I got the Holy Ghost. I got power. Firepower. I got the power of the Spirit. And you're not going to have them in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Don't let your wife do all the praying. Don't let her do all the giving. Don't let her do all the fasting. Men, be the spiritual leader in your home that God has called you to be. Straighten up and fly right, they used to tell me. And get strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I tell you what we need today. And that's some strong men. Everybody's trying to figure out what we need. I can tell you exactly what we need. We need some strong men, full of the fire of God, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Word, full of power and anointing. Amen. If you'll suit up, I'll tell you what, God will fight your battles for you. You remember the story about the Philippian jailer? When the earthquake came and everything fell off the hinges and all the prisoners were loose, he got afraid. He said, what must I do to be saved? Look at Acts 16:31. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and not only will you be saved, but your wife will be saved, and your children will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and the entire household men will be saved. Men lead. Men lead. That's what leaders do. They lead the way. They show the way. They're strong. They're not wimps. They're men. Praise God. We need some men. We need some real men that'll stand up and say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm taking my family to church. I'm going to teach them the Bible. My family's going to read the Bible. They're going to be taught the Word of God. They're going to see the life lived before them, so they'll know this thing was not done in a corner. You can be saved, and you can stay saved, and you can live in victory, because I saw Daddy do it. I saw Mother do it. I saw my family do it. And when that gets into your genes, I'm not talking about blue genes. I'm talking about genes, DNA. When it gets in your family genes, hallelujah, all of a sudden you'll rise up and say, hey, glory to God. I'm more than a conqueror. Glory. Go on, praise God. You remember Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10? He feared God. He prayed. And he wanted to be saved. And God said, send to Joppa, ask for a man named Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he shall come and tell you words whereby you and all your house shall be saved. See, God is not just interested in getting you and me alone saved. God is interested in the entire family. I want you to find the Westmoreland statement, the vision statement. I want you to put that up there. Because I asked God years ago, I said, God, what kind of church is this? What kind of church is Westmoreland, Lord? Look at that, the vision statement. Put it up there, please. Hallelujah. Give them just a moment. You can say it with me. Westmoreland is a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. Bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. You know, that sounds like household salvation to me. That's what God wants. He wants the entire family to be saved. I want to ask you, do you remember the demoniac called Legions who had over 2,000 demons in him? He's found in Mark chapter 5. That man could not be tamed. You say, you just don't know what's going on in my family. Well, I like to preach the Word of God because I can tell you what's going on. Hallelujah. There's a real devil. And that man had 2,000 plus demons in him, and he could not be tamed. They chained him, and he broke the chains. He was so full of the devil that he tore his clothes off. The devil always wants people to get naked or be half naked. The devil is a stripper. And let me tell you about the devil, because I've been in his territory before and I wasn't saved. He is a stripper, and he will strip you down to nothing. He will take everything that is good from you. He will strip you and lead you down, 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 down. Thank God for praying people that prayed me out of that pit. Amen. See, this man, he was so full of the devil, he ran through the tombs, uncontrollable, yelling and screaming. Nobody could tame him. And Jesus came over there. Thank God Jesus never fails. Hallelujah. Jesus went across that sea. That man came running to Jesus, and Jesus drove 2,000 plus demons out of that man. And the Bible says when the crowd came out of the town, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Woo! Glory to God. And do you know when it was all over, he was delivered. And he begged Jesus. He said, Jesus, let me go with you. Please let me go with you. Jesus said, no, I don't want you to go with me. I want you to go home. You go home. Go home. Go back home. Go back to your home. Go back to your friends. They saw you when you were insane. They saw you naked. They saw you devil possessed. They saw you when you did not have your right mind. Go home, go home, go home, and tell them what great things God, woo! I can't help but shout when I think about the great things. I think about what he's done for me. He called my name, Brother Ray. He called me out of darkness into the marvelous light. Hallelujah. Glory. Go on, praise him. You know what I'm talking about. Give him a praise. Come on, let's give Jesus a standing ovation. Hallelujah. Shama rimo shatalabahoria shataya. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 That's what we need to do. We need to go back home after we've lived like the devil. And we need to tell people, Jesus has driven the devil out of my life. Matter of fact, he broke every chain. Woo! No more alcohol. No more slipping around. No more in the clubs. No more going where I shouldn't go and doing the things I shouldn't do. Hallelujah. I decided I'm going to follow Jesus. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you. I'll make you into something. I'll make you into what you ought to be. I'll make you into what I planned for your life. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Praise him, ha-ha-sha. I said praise him, horrible, ha-sha. You need to get so full of the Holy Ghost you can't talk in English. Hallelujah. You're full of God, praying in the Spirit. Glory to God. I'm talking about household salvation. I'm talking about touching our families for Jesus. Reaching out to our families. And that's what we're doing today. Jesus came to save our entire family. And we want to meet every one of them that's in our family in heaven. Amen. I'm not preaching on hell today. There's a hell. Nobody wants to go to that awful place. But there's a heaven to gain. And the good news is not that you're going to hell. The good news is you don't have to go there. Some people they preach on hell like they're glad about it. But I'm not glad at all about hell. I wish that there was no hell, but the wicked shall be turned into hell, and every nation that forgets God. What are nations made up of? People? Every person will be turned into hell that turns against God and the good news. Amen. I used to dream about hell. God dealt with me from the time I was a little boy. And in my dream, I was separated from my family, and I was separated from God. And I could hear them all in heaven, and they were singing, and they were shouting, and they were rejoicing. And I was in hell. And in my dream, I would say, oh, God, if I could only wake up and this was a dream, I'd give my heart to Jesus. Oh, God, I wish this were a dream. And I would wake up, and I would wipe the sweat off of my brow. And I'd go on in my sins. And I had that dream repeatedly, over and over and over again. God kept working with me. He was trying to save my soul. See, God is not willing that any should perish. He kept working with me, kept calling my name. See, God does not want you to go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But he would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. But I had that dream from the time I was a little boy until I was 37 years of age, and I gave my heart to Jesus. I had praying parents. They had a praying church, and they prayed for me, and they built a hedge of protection around me, and they stopped the devil's plan to destroy my lost soul. Thank God for the church. Thank God for praying people. Thank God for a church that'll fall on their knees and call out the names of people in their families. God convinced me of my sins. He convicted me, and I surrendered my life to Jesus because somebody prayed for me. And guess what? The rest of it is his story. History. It's his story. It's what he wanted to do. God is such a great God. See, we're talking about household salvation. We're talking about fighting for your family. And men, you're the head of your home. And you are responsible for your family. Some people say, well, I don't believe in hell. that doesn't make a bit of difference in the world. You say, I don't believe that's a hell. That doesn't change it one bit, not one iota. Hell is real, and people who are not saved, they die, and they go to hell. Oh, my friends, God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn you from your evil ways. Why will you die in your sin when I have given my only begotten Son? The price for your salvation is paid. Jesus shed God's blood. It was pure blood. It was holy blood. It was uncontaminated blood. It was blood that washes away sin. Wash your heart as white as snow. It's powerful blood. It's wonderful blood. It's glorious blood. It's the blood of God's only begotten Son. God came in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. If you want to know how good God is, just watch Jesus walk through the pages of the Bible. Healing the sick, casting out devils. Amen. Saving the lost. Making preparation for the whole world. Getting ready to go to an old rugged cross and die and give his life a ransom for all. He's a good God. He's a great God. And he wants everybody to be saved. And I urge you today, let your heart be open to Jesus, completely open to Jesus, because he wants to save you. You know, this rich man, he died and he was in hell. But he didn't believe in hell. Yet he was lost. And his entire family was in the same condition. And the beggar died, and the beggar went to heaven. But the rich man, he opened his eyes in hell. But the thing I want to impress upon you is this. The rich man realized that he was in hell. And that his brothers, his entire family, was headed to the same place. I tell you, he knew that. And he cried out, Father Abraham, I pray thee, send someone to my father's house. You see, now he believes in prayer, but it's too late. He's in hell. Father Abraham, I pray, send somebody back to my father's house. He's in hell. So now he believes in prayer, and he also believes in door-to-door evangelism to get the lost saved. And notice what he said, that they may testify. So he believes in praying, he believes in evangelism, he believes in testifying. Somebody must have testified to that man saying, you need to believe on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. And he must have said something like this, get away from me. I don't want to hear anything about your God. I don't believe that stuff anyway, and I certainly don't want to hear your testimony. But now he's in hell. And he said, send somebody to testify to my family and tell them not to come to this awful place of torments. I have five brothers. I was too busy making money. I was too busy being a socialite. I was too busy to talk to them about God. I've got five brothers. Send somebody back to them. Send somebody to talk to them about their soul. Send somebody to talk to them about God. Household salvation. We're talking about fighting for your family. That's what we're talking about. Don't wait until you die. It's too late then. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. He said, send somebody from the dead. Do something miraculous. Do some spectacular thing. And that will cause them to turn to God. Abraham said, no. They've got to believe the word of God. Whether you ever see a miracle or not, let me tell you something, friend. It is the word of God which works. The rich man cried out, send somebody back. Look at this. Luke 16:29. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Now he believes in repentance. Man, what a change of mind. What a change of hearts. He's in hell. And it's too late. Do you want your family to go there? Do you want your neighbors to go there? Do you want the people that work with you to go to hell? Then suit up. Put on the whole armor. Get about the Father's business. You know, we all love our children. We spend so much money to take care of their body. Thank God for good doctors. I thank God for good hospitals and good medicines and nurses and all of that help. But we spend so much money on the body, going to the gym, working out, exercising, to keep this body strong, to keep this body healthy. I work on mine. I'll tell you I do. Only got one of them. Praise God. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. I don't want no booze in it. I don't. Don't want any cigarettes in it. Don't want any pot in it. Don't want anything unclean in it. He said, present your body to God, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Why is it reasonable? Because God paid a tremendous price to save you. He sent his son to the cross. And there is no chain that the devil has ever made to which Jesus does not hold the key. Come on out of there, he said. Come out of that darkness into the marvelous light and follow me. Hallelujah. God is a great God. We love our children, don't we? Then we spend so much to take care of their mind. We send them to public schools. We send them to private schools. And then we spend thousands of dollars a year to train them. We send them to the university to train their minds. But if that is all you ever do, you have failed your child. Your child is a living spirit on the inside of a human body. And men and women, as a family, it is your responsibility to teach them about the fear, the nurture, and the admonition of the Lord. David cried, no man cared for my soul. Yes, they cared for my body. Yes, they cared for my mind. But where, oh, where is somebody who will care for my soul? You may educate your child. You may take care of their body. You may leave them $1 million in your will. But if they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are lost for eternity, and they will spend eternity in hell. You know, so many parents, they never told their children about Jesus, and their children, they are lost. I beg you, don't do that. Don't do that. Train them. Talk to them. Sit at the table. Don't send them out to Big Mac. Amen. I won't even call the name of that place. Don't send them to a fast food restaurant. Amen. Bring them to the family table and talk to them about Jesus. Find out what's going on in their life. Find out who their friends are. Find out what they're doing. Find out what they're interested in. Show some interest in it. Amen. Heard a story about this granddaddy. I'm a granddaddy now. And he said something to the child and found out mother said he couldn't do that. She said, Daddy, I've already told him he could not get out of that playpen. So granddaddy, her daddy, he goes and gets in the playpen with the child and sits down. Whatever it takes, just let them know, granddaddy loves you. Hallelujah. Let them know it. Let the light shine. You're full of light. Glory to God. We come out of the darkness. We're light, children of light. Hallelujah. Let it radiate out of you. Let God's love radiate out of you. Let God's power, let God's anointing, lay your hands on them and pass the blessing on. It works. I do it all the time. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something. More than money, more than their body, more than their minds, we need to be concerned about their eternal soul. I'm talking about fighting for your family. I'm talking about winning your family to Jesus. And to do that, you need the power of the Holy Ghost to witness. The question is not which church is right. The question is not, what do you think of the preacher? But the one question is this, what will you do with Jesus who is called the Christ? See, he's alive. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's the only Savior. And he sent the Holy Ghost to the church to give them supernatural power. Some people say, well, I've got the Holy Ghost, but we don't want any of that tongues. No, they got the witness of the Spirit. They're saved, but they don't have the Holy Ghost in the fire. If you're going to have some Bible evidence of speaking in tongues, they don't have the Holy Ghost with Bible evidence. That's what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. Look at this. When the day, Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, oh, we need some suddenness. Hallelujah. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven that was a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, once you're saved, you need to go on with God. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you need the Bible evidence by speaking in tongues. Amen. See, your family needs to see the power of God evident in your life if you're going to win them to Jesus. Amen. I thought about people that get filled with religion. They talk about the preacher. They talk about the praise team. They talk about the Sunday school. They talk about the denomination. They talk about the church. But you let somebody get filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. When you get filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, all you ever talk about is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. What a wonderful thing he did for me. Let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you about my Master. He's Jesus, Jesus. Who's this man called Jesus? What manner of man is he? He's the one who can calm your troubled sea. He calls blind eyes to open. He turned the water into wine. He's the Savior, the Redeemer, the way for mankind. He's a strong, a mighty tower. He's a refuge in light. He's the lily of every valley. He's both the buyer and the price. He's the captain of salvation. He's the risen Christ. He's Jesus, Jesus, the giver of life. He's hope for tomorrow. He's the answer for today. He's precious. He's love. He's the truth and he's the way. And he will do for you what no other can. He's the great I am. The Savior of men. Did he save you? Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved and I'm safe in the arms of Jesus. Hallelujah. See, you need power to pray, church. You need power to witness. You need power to stand in the gap for your family. I prepared a handout for every family here today. And I did that so you would know how to pray scripturally for your family. I did that in 2003 so I would know how to scripturally pray for my family. And today, I want to give every person in here a copy of that. I want you to be able to pray with power, to pray scripturally, and to be able to pray for your family with authority, the authority of God's word. My wife and I were talking about this handout. And she said, Jerry, do you realize how many people in your family have gotten saved since you started praying that? Seed time, harvest time. And we counted 12 people. I have a cousin, a first cousin, who would call me up and curse me out. It wasn't him, it's the spirit in him. It can't stand the spirit of God in me. He was raised in a preacher's home. But he tried to go his own way. So I just got so tired of his verbal abuse that I just blocked him. I blocked him on my phone. I don't do a whole lot on Facebook, but I got a Facebook request from him wanting me to be his friend. Boom, I immediately confirmed him. Hallelujah. I won't take his abuse, but let me tell you something. I'm praying for him. Pastor Rick, if you'd come to the piano, please. I've been praying for him. I've got another family member who is just like that. And I'm not going to take his abuse either. But he cannot stop my prayers. My prayers go up to the throne of God's grace. And my prayers are effective because we count it 12. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, is that you? Availeth much. If it is, then pray for your family. I am going to equip you. I want everybody to come to the altar. I'm going to equip you today. We're going to give a copy of this when you leave. You got to come to the altar. You got to stay at the altar. And you got to pray for your family. If you leave before this altar call, if you don't come to this altar, you're not getting this. Right now, I want everybody to come. I want you to pray for your family. Surely, your family is more important than anything else on your agenda today.
Yes, yes.
Surely, household salvation. After a message like this and what God has done, how in the world could you ever not come and pray? Get together, husband and wife. Put your hands together. Get together. Join together. God said, I'm going to give you a mate. He said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, yes, it shall be done for them by the Father which is in heaven. Get with your mate or get with your date. Get somebody to agree with you. Hallelujah. Get somebody to pray that prayer with you. Reach out to a friend. Say, I need somebody to agree with me for my family. I don't want my children to die and go to a devil's hell. Devil, you're not going to have my family. Get your hands off my children. Get your hands off my home. Get your hands off my mother. Get your hands off my daddy. Get your hands off the seed. Get your hands off. I'm praying and I'm standing in the gap. I'm making up the hedge. You're not going to have them. You'll have to come through the blood. You'll have to come through the word. You'll have to come through Jesus to get to them. I've hedged them in. I've got them covered by the blood. I've got them covered. They're covered. They're covered with my prayers. I've covered them. I'm standing there. I'm full of God. I've got authority over you, devil. I cast you down. I cast you out. I command you to loose my family. I command you to let them go. Don't just sit back and ask God to do it all. God said, I've given you the name of Jesus. I've given you the power of the Holy Ghost. I've given you my word. I've given you the blood. I've given you weapons of warfare so you'll be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You can take your family to Jesus. You can do it. You got to pray. Somebody prayed for me. I'm praying for others. Are you praying? Are you standing in the gap? Oh, God, help us, please. Burn this message into our heart. Oh, God, burn this message. Burn it, oh God, into our person, into our being, right into our spirit, man. Let it go deep, oh God. Bring my family to my remembrance, God. When my daddy went home to be with you, I said, oh God, bring my family. Bring them to my remembrance. I will stand in the gap. My daddy's gone. My daddy's not here to pray for his seed, but I'm praying for him. I'm standing there. I'm standing there, Lord. I'm taking up the mantle, the prayer mantle that was on my daddy, and I'm standing there. And I turn to the devil and I say, devil, let me tell you something. I am full of God. I'm suited up. I got on the whole armor. I got power. I got authority. I'm God's man. Hallelujah. Let go of my family. I command you to let them go. I said, go, you devil. Loose them. I command alcohol to loose them. I command drug addiction to loose them. I command unclean ways to loose them. I command the power of the clubs to loose them. I command those spirits of darkness to loose my family. I'm standing in the gap, devil. You're not going to take my family. You're not taking my home. You're not taking anything from me. I've got authority. I've got power. I'm full of God. And God has sent me on a mission. And my mission is to get my family saved. Get my whole household saved. Hallelujah. God saved me. God gave me a mission. And God sent me into the harvest field. Hallelujah. Pray. Pray. The rich man in hell, he said, I pray, Father Abraham, I pray. Send somebody. Oh, go send somebody to testify. Now he believes in praying, but he's in hell. Now he believes in evangelism, but he's in hell. Now he believes in testifying, but he's in hell. He waited too late. He said, I've got five brothers. Send somebody to talk to them. God has sent somebody.
Yes.
God has sent us. God has equipped us to win the battles of life. Father, I pray for every family under the sound of my voice. For those, God, who have been watching, by lives. Those, Lord, who have been watching by Facebook Live. Those, Lord, that you wanted to get this word to. And you brought them here, God, because you are interested in the whole house. You're interested in household salvation. And God, I pray for every family here. I pray that the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, will set the captive free. I pray for those that are bound by chains, Lord, that they're still holding on to. Lord, let the chains fall off and let them walk away free. Just walk out free. Walk into the light as He is in the light. Walk in the freedom of the Holy Ghost. Break every chain, Lord. Sing that, Brother Ricky. Break every chain. Break every chain, Lord. Break every chain. Break every chain. Every chain. I said, devil, let our families go. I command you in the name of Jesus. Get your filthy hands off our families. Let them go. Let